conferences, as well as any live reports from five Eyewitness News reporters down there at AM 1500 KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis, the talk station. 11 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Aaron Katursky, live in Minneapolis, where divers have gone back into the Mississippi River to search for more bodies following the I-35W bridge collapse.
We have a number of divers who dived together, working around the clock now to begin the recovery operations.
Sheriff Rich Santek says about 50 cars are still in the river.
There are a number of vehicles both in the river and on the bridge itself, some submerged, some you can see sticking out of the water.
Four people are confirmed dead, but officials said today several bodies are pinned in the submerged cars. An estimated 20 people are unaccounted for. Within the hour, President Bush pledged his support for Minnesota. ABC's Ann Compton is live at the White House.
Taking a share of the responsibility, Aaron, President Bush made a pledge from the White House Rose Garden.
We in the federal government must respond and respond robustly to help the people there not only recover, but to make sure that lifeline of activity, that the bridge gets rebuilt as quickly as possible.
He's already dispatched $5 million to help reroute Minneapolis traffic and the FBI, along with federal engineering teams. With more, here's my colleague Vic Ratner.
And federal officials promise stepped-up inspections of other bridges across the country. One estimate from a major engineering organization is that it might cost $1.5 trillion to fix or replace crumbling bridges, sewers, roads, and other aging critical facilities.
I think we should look at this tragedy that occurred as a wake-up call for us. We have all over the country a crumbling infrastructure, highways, bridges, dams, and we really need to take a hard look at this.
Senate Leader Harry Reid, who says we've neglected bridges, sewers, and roads. Minnesota Congressman James Oberstar is introducing legislation to provide $250 million to help Minnesota at least start clearing away the wreckage. I'm Vic Ratner, live in Washington. You're listening to ABC News.
Fixed or adjustable rate mortgage? That's the big question for so many real estate buyers and borrowers. Here's my simple formula. If you plan to stay in your home for any length of time, generally 5 years or more, consider going fixed. You'll never have to worry about changing rates, and in today's environment, you may actually get a better rate than an adjustable. In a moment, I'll talk about when to use an adjustable.
Today's advice from the Millionaire Zone's Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree.com. Now is the perfect time to refinance with LendingTree before your adjustable rate mortgage payments increase. Visit LendingTree.com today or call 1-800-555-TREE and you could lower your monthly payments. When banks compete, you win. See website or call for sponsorship details and licensing.
Here's where adjustable rate mortgages make sense. If rates on adjustables are at least one percentage point lower than fixed rate loans, they may save you a bundle, especially if you plan to move in a few years. Take my friend Trey and his wife, who plan to have more kids and move to a bigger home. They chose the lower rate loan, and they came out way ahead.
74 degrees in the Twin Cities at 11:03. Good morning, I'm Bob Berglund, AM 1500 KSCP News. The numbers are remaining pretty constant still this morning. Four dead, 79 injured, 20 to 30 still missing. One of the recovery problems this morning is that parts of the bridge that haven't collapsed are still unstable. Crews can't be sure what's safe to go on and what isn't. Add to that the swirling currents of the river, and it's a dangerous recovery scene that is keeping divers out of the water. Heavy equipment continues to be moved to the area, but it's a slow, tricky process. You may have seen on TV last night a semi for Tasty Bakeries on fire. It's reported today the driver of that truck is one of those missing. Many vehicles are in the water. Estimates have ranged from 20 to 50, but the truth is no one really knows. USI Wireless has announced it has extended free Wi-Fi service in the disaster area until further notice. The University of Minnesota is open as normal today, classes and all operations proceeding as planned. U of M officials say the campus is safe and secure. Want to squeeze some other news in here this morning. Northwest Airlines and its pilots have made a deal that would ease the pilot workload in an effort to stop the end-of-the-month cancellations that have plagued the airline. The deal would pay pilots time and a half for flying over 80 hours a month. The company also says it would pay union workers a bonus of up to 15% of their pay, up to $1,000, if they have perfect attendance between this Saturday and September 3rd. It still has to be ratified by the rank and file, but the union says that could happen as soon as Saturday. A Burnsville man who made $24 million selling prescription painkillers illegally through his internet pharmacy has been sentenced to 30 years in federal prison. 27-year-old Christopher Smith's attorney says he'll appeal. Smith apologized, saying he was selfish. And the St. Paul City Council last night voted unanimously to shut down Diva's Overtime Lounge, a bar on Rice Street that has been the scene of fights, shootings, and license violations over the years. Diva's has 2 weeks to appeal, and it's expected they will. Patrick Hammer's 5 Eyewitness News forecast, sunny and 87 today. It's 74 now at AM 1500 KSTP.
KSTP, the talk station, 1105. This is Bob Davis. We are, of course, continuing the coverage of the bridge collapse in Minneapolis. And in the last hour, what can I tell you? We had the press conference with the governor. The president spoke just before 10 o'clock. Then the press conference with the governor, Amy Klobuchar, Norm Coleman, Keith Ellison, R.T. Ryback, the chief of police, Hennepin County sheriff was there. And generally, everybody discussing what plans are for recovery, as well as the federal government already sort of earmarking $5 million for immediate use in the Twin Cities for traffic rerouting and things of that nature. They're talking about $100 million in aid immediately in terms of rebuilding the bridge over the long term. So that's kind of where we stand with that. Talk to Suzanne Song from 5 Eyewitness News, who is at HCMC. And I think one of the things we really haven't talked about is the fact that there are families who still have not heard from people. And they're obviously down there trying to figure out what's going on. And there's a lot of consternation, obviously, with that. And so we should be thinking about that. Mentioned at the very beginning of the show this morning about the first responders. One of the things both Norm Coleman and Amy Klobuchar and the governor, of course, mentioned that, and even Keith Ellison mentioned that we really did a good job in terms of first response. And all of the rehearsing, all of the work that's gone into preparing for this kind of a disaster or a disaster of this magnitude really has paid off in terms of responding. No turf fights, no issues with who's got to go where. I was stunned, frankly, at how quickly they got doctors down there. They got pediatricians. They had 100 nurses. They had paramedics. They had plenty of ambulances. They had a staging area and so forth. So I was very, very impressed with that at the outset, and people should talk about it. Now, in terms of the state response to this, we have the state incident manager and state emergency operations center on the phone, Dave Beresford, I assume. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
So what's up? What can you tell us new right now?
Well, I can tell you that currently the numerous state agencies are assisting the local community in bringing significant resources and assistance to the city of Minneapolis and the first responders. One bit of information that we just confirmed was that there was some concern last evening about a hazardous materials spill at the incident, and through the hazardous materials folks and the railroad, as well as the MPCA, Minnesota Pollution Control Partner, and Homeland Security's liaison, we've been able to determine that that is not a hazardous materials concern right now.
Was that the train?
Yes.
That was underneath it. So that was carrying what, grain or?
That was carrying certain materials used in plastics.
Okay. But that's not a hazardous problem, is what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, what else?
Well, we have, again, we're working very closely with our federal partners to include the Transportation Security Agency, Federal Emergency Management Agency, the Department of Homeland Security, as well as the Coast Guard, coordinating any types of resources. We've got numerous resources that we as the state can, in fact, bring to our local first responders.
What do they need right now, the first responders, the guys that have been, I don't know, Rich was saying, Rich Stanek was saying that they've now, what, they're at about 16 hours now or more. Are they fatigued? I mean, are they getting spelled? What do they need?
Well, quite frankly, a lot of those questions would be best answered by the local incident commander, but I can tell you that there's an excellent incident command system in place, that they are managing their personnel resources quite well. They're making sure that as the first responders have been on scene for a significant amount of time, that they're being relieved with fresh personnel, and that those folks that were on the scene are in fact coming off the scene to get some rest and rehabilitation.
And you may not be able to answer this, but what are they doing right now? What are they trying to attempt to do right now?
Well, I don't have any specifics on that. Clearly, I believe that would be best handled by the local.
What kind of things are they asking you for?
Currently, right now, they're just asking us to have certain possible assets that we could bring to bear, nothing specifically. But basically what we're able to do is provide a great deal of liaison, which they have asked us for.
Which is critical. In other words, you're helping put people together that can give them what they need, and that ends up being critical. Now, are you in sort of they've called this the war room. I hate calling it that, but sort of the coordination center. Where are you located?
We are located in St. Paul, and that's a good term for it. A coordination center is a pretty good term for it.
You don't like the war room, and the war room just sounds kind of, you know, because it's nothing like that. So anything else you can tell me that I haven't asked about?
No, not currently, other than I would just echo the accolades that our senior leaders in the state as well as the federal government have said about our first responders, Minneapolis and the local first responders, as well as the state agencies, are really doing a great job.
They are, and thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy, so good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you later. Almost all of the officials have said that this first responders did well, and I wouldn't know, but I listened to the scanner as soon as I found out this had happened, and it was pretty impressive how quickly they coordinated everything. And also, many of the officials also mentioned that they were really surprised, and I don't know why anyone should be surprised about this, because every time this kind of a thing happens, people do step up to the plate. Look at the number of civilians who, without even thinking about it, either jumped in the water, stepped up to the plate to help people, or rushed out there to do what they could. That is, you know, not to congratulate ourselves or anything, but it's just, that is a really positive thing to see. In any case, and I don't want to say we should be proud, but it makes me feel better to know that people really stepped up to the plate to help other people in that type of thing. Chad, you're on AM 1500.
Yeah, I got a question and a comment or two. Since the reports are coming in that the bridge was deficient three or four times when they did their inspections.
Well, again, the word deficient is a sort of a loaded word. What does that mean? And specifically when they say deficient, what does that mean?
Well, I'm sure there's got to be certain criteria that has to be met in order for that word to come across. Now, when you're looking at a project management standpoint of view, like you said, it's a loaded answer.
Yeah, we don't know the answer, and they're going to be conducting the investigation, which will be complex, and they will update us according to the NTSB. But as time goes on, we're just going to have to wait for the details about what caused it. Bob McNaney from 5 Eyewitness News standing by to talk to about recovery. Now, you're doing the recovery thing now. They're sort of observing this recovery of whatever the cars and victims under the bridge is about, correct?
Yeah, I think we're all kind of doing everything today. We've been up in the chopper since before dawn. Again, we were up last night, and we just sat down to get some fuel. So kind of the latest on the recovery, which is first and foremost, is that there's a briefing going on right now, and it looks like by early this afternoon they hope to get divers in the water. The barges came over to the shore very early this morning. They loaded it up with diving equipment and got the folks on there, and they're just starting to make their way over toward the bridge, the collapsed portion, and before anybody goes in the water, they're really taking a hard look at the structural integrity of the bridge. There were some engineers that were walking around for the first time within about the last half hour up there, because the last thing they want to do is to get anybody else killed trying to recover remains.
Now, we just talked to Dave Beresford, I think, from the state of Minnesota, who said that there is no longer any concern about any hazardous materials in that water. So for people who happen to jump in to go out and maybe rescue somebody, do you have any idea how many cars are underneath there? You were up in the chopper all morning. You kind of were able to get close. What does it look like underneath that water? Can you tell?
You know, there's a handful that we could see in the water itself, but, you know, it's hard to tell because they could be under the bridge, under the water. It's too hard to tell because they are underwater, and there are many of them probably are underwater under the bridge. You know, some people have wondered about this number of 50 cars on the bridge. How could it be? Come on, folks. Here's the deal. 46 by our count that you can see. And that does not include the ones that are under the bridge, that are in the water, that people know, people have been killed in. So 50 is going to be a conservative number when this whole thing comes out.
So we don't, the death toll then will obviously rise once they get under there and figure out how many cars were underneath.
Absolutely.
Is there any way anybody could have gotten out from underneath one of those cars once, you know?
Anything's possible, but I tell you what, The sheriff's department came out this morning and said, really, we really think there's probably between 20 and 30 people still missing.
Wow.
Late last night, it was 20. Chief Dolan from Minneapolis started this without great specificity. He was telling us that there were emergency personnel that stayed with people that were pinned, knew they couldn't get them out. The people who were dying knew they couldn't get out. And these emergency responders stayed with them. In some cases, it sounds as if they may have had cell phones or something, so they were able to say goodbye to their loved ones. I mean, these are tremendous acts of heroism. Just because you didn't pull someone out from this rubble doesn't mean that you're not a hero. It's pretty clear from what the chief said that there were some of the law enforcement types that were down in the debris, down in the rubble, that stayed with the victims until they died, even though they couldn't get them out.
So we aren't getting a full count because we don't know anyway. But there are people under that.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And again, 20 to 30 are unaccounted for.
Because I talked to Suzanne Song over at HCMC, and the doctors are like kind of surprised that there weren't more injuries.
Well, yes. From a hospital standpoint, when they don't, you want them to come pouring in.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The good news.
Well, that's what happened to 9/11. They were surprised that not that many people came in until they realized that meant that they're a lot more dead, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think Senator Coleman hit it right on the head this morning. His quote was, "The horrors will continue to play out," and I think he's absolutely right. As tragic as it's been, I think we may have seen the upside of this scenario, where we saw the heroism and the recovery of people that were injured and who will recover. But the reality of it is the vast majority of the victims are still under the water and or under the rubble.
How soon did you get up in the chopper yesterday?
Relatively quickly. Frankly, the chopper was up over the scene within about 10 minutes. It was within the hour or so for me. I mean, the chopper was up before that.
Right.
I got to tell you, I've been in this business a long time. I've never seen a response from a group of people. And, it's not really a time to pat people on the back. But I'll tell you what, our job is to inform people what's going on, show people what's going on, and provide an outlet for people. And there was a tremendous effort last night.
Well, I got to tell you, some of the video that you guys got from the scene, not just from the chopper, but also on the scene, was phenomenal, because they were, I think we were there first, just because we're probably physically closest to it. And we got there, and, I mean, the video is amazing. It really was.
It is. And I'll tell you what, it's not just the news people. I mean, everybody talks about, some of the first people on the scene are sports guys. You know, Rod Simons.
Yes.
And John Gross, the photographer. They were down doing Target Center Timberwolves stuff. And, you know, they got down there and they got in it, and they got in it quick. And that's what it takes to do this, because we are charged with the responsibility of providing information to this community. And we've been on the air since 6 o'clock last night. So.
How are the first responders? I know you guys are probably tired, but how about these firemen and policemen and stuff that have been down there, all these other officials that have been down there? Are they getting, what's up with them?
Well, you know what, the limited access I've had to them today has been just that. But I can hear in their voices they're tired. But this is, you know, anybody who's, whether you're a first responder or a member of the media, or, you know, everybody sees the same stuff up close. You know, our reporters see it, our photographers are seeing it, and it affects them the same way in many respects. You get tired, but you know what? It's not about getting tired, because there's a lot of work to do. And I tell you, the responders know that there are families at home waiting for definitive answers as to what's happened to the person or people they care about.
What's the next thing that they're going to do?
Well, they're going to do a couple of things. So they're going to continue to work on the examination of the structure itself to see how safe it is. To be on it, to get under it, and while they're doing that, they can start proceeding early this afternoon with the work of being in the water. And I'll tell you, I'll take exception to the comment that there aren't hazardous materials. I know what he's talking about, but I'll tell you, these divers are going into some pretty awful conditions.
Oh yeah, because you've got all that stuff that's coming out of the cars. I mean, you've got all kinds of fluids and so forth.
Yeah, there's a slick that we've...
I think what they were concerned about was just that the train had some sort of chemical in it that, you know, and they wanted to confirm that wasn't true, so...
Yeah.
All right, Bob, we'll talk to you. We're going to get some traffic information, but we'll talk to you again, and thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bob McNaney from 5 Eyewitness News at AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station. Carolyn Peterson is here with the traffic update this morning.
Good morning. Looks like commuters are definitely making the adjustments well today. Eastbound 94, which is a great alternate for a lot of folks, the speeds ranging from 50 miles an hour to 60 miles an hour between 101 all the way to 494, 694 in Woodbury. No major problems on that. I know a lot of folks are using that main artery today. And also, due to the bridge collapse in 35W, there's some local streets affected, as you heard from Kenny earlier today. West River Parkway between 13th Avenue South and 1st Avenue, or 1st Street South, just south of the river, is closed. 2nd Street Southeast between 8th Avenue Southeast and 11th Avenue Southeast, north of the river, closed as well. Also closed, the 10th Avenue Bridge between University Avenue and 2nd Street South. That's the bridge that runs parallel to 35W. Broadway Street Northeast in both directions at 280, that is closed as well, and all traffic lights have been turned off. Everything's green north and south on 280, as that is the big alternate to avoid the issues with 35W and the bridge collapse. I'm Carolyn Peterson. This is continuing traffic coverage of the 35W bridge collapse on AM 1500 KSTP.
You got a lineup yet?
Yeah, we do.
You sound pretty excited.
Unedited. I'm not for sure it's going to last, but I wrote it down. Unfiltered.
There was a few people trying to figure out why Lou was trying to deke the runner there with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, that's why you take your hat off in the dugout.
And unmitigated.
Well, it looked like you were setting up a screen pass.
Well, as you say.
It's Ron Gardenhire straight up.
He was closer to it than he was earlier this season, making the ball land in deep center.
Well, you don't want to get hit either.
The Ron Gardenhire Show, Sunday mornings at 9:30, only on AM 1500 KS.
Hi, I'm Peter Marty. Money is a worry, a blessing, and a necessity. So how could it be a God? That's next on Grace Matters.
Listen to Grace Matters every Sunday morning at 6:30 right here on the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Looking for the garage of your dreams? That special place, your special place, where you can store all of your motorized toys and equipment? Paul Brand here for Park Place Storage Condominiums, now open in Shakopee and Minnetrista, along with Corcoran, Burnsville, Hastings, and Stillwater. Park Place Storage Condos are beautiful, well-lit storage units that you own, not rent. You're investing in light industrial property that will appreciate in value instead of handing over a monthly rent check. Sizes start at 18 feet wide, 45 feet deep with 14-foot high overhead doors. And each unit has gas heat, 60-amp electrical service, and secure 24/7 access. So whether you're looking for a place to store your boat, park your collector car, or keep the motorhome out of your driveway, Park Place Storage Condos have exactly the right garage for you. Call Joel Jorgensen at 952-250-2163 or visit online at parkplacestorage.net. Check out the garage of your dreams in Shakopee, Minnetrista, Corcoran, Burnsville, Hastings, and Stillwater. 952-250-2163.
Who else could be the title sponsor of the Ron Garden Hire Show than the garden experts? Gurdons. Get it? Garden Hire, garden experts?
Well, look good on paper.
Listen to the Ron Garden Hire Show, Sunday mornings 9:30 to 10, brought to you by Gurdons. So much more than a garden store.
For over a decade, Ticket King has been providing Minnesotans with tickets to the most sought-after events in the Twin Cities and nationwide. Whether it's a ticket to a sporting event, concert, or an off-Broadway show, you can count on Ticket King to get you in the door. Be sure to visit the brand new Ticket King location right in the heart of Minneapolis on the corner of Chicago and Washington, just a couple of blocks from the Metrodome. Stop in for your chance to win a $500 gift certificate during Ticket King's grand opening celebration. When others say they're sold out, your local Ticket King office has the tickets you want.
To buy your tickets locally today, call Ticket King toll-free at 1-800-396-7328 and talk to one of their friendly representatives, or visit them securely online 24 hours a day at TicketKingOnline.com. Again, that's a toll-free call at 1-800-396-7328 or online at TicketKingOnline.com. Ticket King, your hometown ticket broker, bringing you sold-out entertainment for over a decade.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Continuing coverage of the bridge collapse at AM 1500 KSTP, the Talk Station. This is Bob Davis. We were talking earlier before the break with Bob McNaney from 5 Eyewitness News about Timothy Dolan, police chief of Minneapolis, and some of these stories about first responders dealing with people on the bridge after the collapse. Who were, I don't know any other way to say it other than terminal. Here's that cut, by the way, from Dolan. I think you should hear it.
When this thing is all over and it's all said and done, people, a lot more people will love the game of soccer probably because...
That's obviously not... Great. So anyway, he was just saying that there were some real amazing stories of police officers and other first responders saying to people, you know, who couldn't get out of there, you know, using their cell phones to call loved ones and so forth. And the other thing is, we talked to Suzanne Song, who's at HCMC, who was saying that, you know, you have families who still haven't heard from their relatives at the hospital, trying to find out what's going on and waiting for this. So there's still a lot of this going on in the community this morning, and we won't get answers to some of these questions till later. The next thing that will happen is they're going to start going underneath the bridge to try to figure out exactly how many cars are down there and what, if any, casualties there are underneath that bridge, and we'll bring in the details about that as they come up. Al, you're on AM 1500.
Hey there, hi there. I was just telling the screener there, I was listening to a different radio station earlier in the day, and the caller indicated that structurally deficient classification pertains to, he indicated, a four-part scale, one to four, four being the worst it could be, and structurally deficient rating a two on that scale. I don't know if you can look that up better and get some...
What is that again? I'm a little confused about what you're saying again.
On a structurally deficient rating the bridge got...
Yes.
Yeah. I heard a caller earlier in the day indicate that's like on a scale of 1 to 4, with 4 being the worst, that would be a 2.
So, again, when someone says deficient, it's a loaded word, but when we're talking about engineering, deficient could mean a lot of different things. In particular...
Right. They have a scale that has, I believe, a scale of 1 to 4, basically, that has different names that go with it. I don't know if you can do some research.
Yeah, the document is on 5 Eyewitness News website, if you want to check it out, KSTP.com.
Yeah,
I appreciate the clarification. I think that's a really good point. Words like deficient and negligent and so forth don't tell us much. Now we've got the Dolan cut, I believe. Do we have the Dolan cut? Do we have the Dolan cut? We do? I just want to play this because this really reflects the human drama that was involved with this, and you're going to hear a lot more of these stories as the day goes on.
I'll just say that we know of several people that who are pinned or trapped, were at the time when we left them deceased. So, and I'll just leave it at that.
And the background there is that some of these officers were helping these people and stayed with them until they did finally pass away, I guess you could say, use their cell phones to talk to loved ones or whatever. These are the kind of stories that are going to come out, and they're, once again, I don't want to call them heartwarming because that's the wrong word, But it gives you an idea of the scope of the disaster of what happened here. Joel, you're on AM 1500.
Hi, my name is Joel. The only thing I wanted to suggest, if nobody's thought of it yet, if they're going to have to take some time to recover any of those vehicles that are under the bridge, if they can get a diver down there just to recover license plates or something, they'll at least be able to figure out who we've got down there.
Well, I'm sure they thought of that. I guess the problem now is just organizing this thing so that they can figure it all out. And the main thing was, one, you couldn't go down there until they were sure that the structure itself was completely collapsed. Two, if you send divers under there and the bridge collapses further, then what? Three, right. You know, can you see what's there and so forth? So thanks for the suggestion. I'm sure they're on it, and we'll hear more. Thank you, Joel.
You bet.
We'll talk to you later. We will get a news update, and then after that, we'll get a traffic update, hopefully, and find out what's going on. Continuing coverage of the bridge collapse, your calls at 651-646-8255, toll-free 877-615-1500. We're also just sort of keeping up with the 5 Eyewitness News people. If there's any press conferences that go live, we'll take them. So if you're in your car, you can hear it, and we'll just try to keep you updated as the day goes on. Bob Berglund's here with a news update at AM 1500 KSTP.
And good morning. There have been a string of press conferences today. NTSB Chairman Mark Rosenkurz and the Twin Cities to get the investigation going on what caused the bridge collapse. He says the investigation starts now.
We understand there's some video out there that we want to get hold of and enhance. We will also be putting out a witness telephone number. If anybody has any either still photos or any other videos that may well be out there, we clearly would like to get hold of that for our analysis.
Transportation Secretary Mary Peters is also here and announced an immediate $5 million in federal aid to help with recovery and repair. Senators Coleman and Klobuchar have bills already pending in Congress for emergency aid, and Jim Oberstar expects to have a bill passed in Congress yet today. The president spoke about the tragedy today at the White House. He said it was talked about during a cabinet meeting this morning.
We talked about the fact that the bridge collapsed and that we in the federal government must respond and respond robustly to help the people there not only recover, but to make sure that lifeline of activity, that the bridge gets rebuilt as quickly as possible.
President also called for quick passage of spending bills in Congress. There are some absolutely harrowing stories from people who were actually on the bridge or its approach when it collapsed. This woman was right behind that school bus carrying 60 children.
Once we start pulling too much sand up, we plug the filters in the plant, so we shut the well down.
And I looked up in the air and I saw the 35W bridge coming down, and I could hear all the screams, and I saw like the kids on the bus holding their seats up, holding onto their seats right in front of them. And then it was down, and immediately the bridge was laying on the road in front of me, like five cars in front. A couple cars in front of me did U-turns and left. And they just left, and they were probably in shock because the bridge fell down in front of them. A couple of guys got out of the car and started running towards the bridge to help the kids and stuff. And I got on 911 and called immediately, and I didn't know what bridge it was. And I just got on the phone, and I was calling people and crying. And all the other people came down the river, and they were crying because there wasn't anything you could do. There was... It's pretty devastating.
All those kids escaped safely. Officials are amazed there weren't more casualties. The number of injured this morning was upped to 79. At the same time, the death toll was lowered to 4. But the death toll will certainly rise because there are 20 to 30 people still unaccounted for. Governor Plante this morning ordered an immediate inspection of all bridges that have a design like the 35W bridge. Already questions have been raised about the structural integrity of that bridge, even though a 2006 inspection showed no serious problems. Patrick Hammer's 5 Eyewitness News. Weather sunny and 87 today, sunny and 86 tomorrow. It's 81 now. Continuing coverage of the 35W bridge collapse. Let's turn to Carolyn Peterson now with a traffic update.
Thank you, Bob. It looks like traffic snarls are being averted today, as a lot of commuters are choosing just to either stay at home at work or just keep their commuting to a minimum. 280 has now been converted to a temporary freeway. There are no traffic signals. Broadway Avenue and County Road B, no longer have access to the highway. The lights at these intersections will stay green on the highway. 25 extra buses have been pressed into service at the following locations: Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids, Maplewood Mall, Northtown Shopping Center in Blaine, 63rd Avenue in Brooklyn Center, Rosedale Shopping Center in Roseville, City Hall. South 35W to South 280 to West 94 into downtown Minneapolis is your best way to get into downtown. South 35W to West 694 to East 94 is also another alternate to get into downtown Minneapolis. Right now, taking a look at the traffic map, the MnDOT traffic map, the only major congestion we are seeing is the usual eastbound 494 from 100 to 35W, which is kind of a lunchtime usual for this time of day. I'm Carolyn Peterson. You're listening to continuing coverage of the 35W bridge disaster on AM 1500 KSTP.
One of the worst jobs in the world is sealing your deck. Picture the scorching sun. You got to sit there and seal your deck. You try to put it off every other year. It doesn't always work that way. You might call over your brother-in-law, hey, come on over for beer and pizza and help me seal my deck. He doesn't always go for it either. Why don't you try Seal Max? They'll go for it, and they don't need beer, and they don't need pizza. They'll do it in a day, pick up the telephone, and get on their schedule. Before the big party, they will seal the deck. They'll also seal the dock at your lake home, your cabin, wherever. 888-668-6447. Let them sit out there in the scorching sun. They're happy to do it because they realize with the 25-year guarantee on their product, they're happy and you're happy. So pick up the phone, 888-668-6447. It's called Seal Max. When superior performance and appearance are your only option, call Seal Max, S-E-A-L-M-A-X-X, 888-668-6447.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
KSTP, the Talk Station. This is Bob Davis. We are continuing, of course, the bridge coverage, we're getting down here towards the end of the show. There's a lot yet to talk about. A lot to talk about tomorrow. In the first hour, I'm not going to talk about this all day tomorrow. Well, in the first hour, we're going to do some updates. Harry Reid is talking about how we're not investing enough in the infrastructure of the United States. That seems to be coming up a lot. I started the show talking about that. There's still a lot of speculations about what caused the bridge collapse. We will not know the full answer. Mike Brooks is on the phone from CNN in Atlanta, and Mike, of course, has had a lot of experience with first response. I want to talk about to Mike about exactly what officers encounter in this kind of situation, and we'll kind of wind up with that. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
I'm good. Saw you on CNN last night, giving us a big plug. That was cool.
Well, you know, it's ironic, but this time last year, this week last year, I was sitting in your chair.
That's right.
You were off, and I traveled across this bridge many, many times, and I was living in Apple Valley. And you know, when it happened, I said, "Oh my God, was there an earthquake in Minneapolis?"
People actually thought.
That's what it reminded me of, Bob.
Yeah, some of the people that were actually in the bridge said that they thought it was an earthquake until they figured out what was going on. You were on the anti-terror task force and have dealt with a lot of the first response issues with something like this. What can you tell us about what officers encounter whether they're fire department people or police officers, when they encounter something like this? What do they go through?
Well, but I tell you, when you're an officer, when you're a police officer, firefighter, emergency medical technician, when you pull up on a scene like this, you first of all, you say, oh, my God, what do you think to yourself? Oh, my God. But then all your training, everything kind of clicks in. And I tell you, Minneapolis has a good emergency response plan. Of course, you think you're always ready, but you're never ready for something as catastrophic as this, Bob. But the officers there in the scene, we saw a lot of heroics yesterday, and there's a lot we didn't see that was going on there with the police officers and the firefighters. And I tell you, Bob, the resiliency of the people of Minneapolis, Minnesotans in general, it came through yesterday. We heard all night long just stories and stories of unsung heroes, people who were there trying to help out. But the police officers, firefighters, EMS, they've got a long road ahead of them. And last night on our air on CNN, a woman from the Red Cross said that they're going to be there to help provide psychological services for the first responders as well as for the families of those 20 to 30 people who are still missing. But, you know, having worked on situations like this, Bobby, you know, it's one of these things, you work, and then you basically collapse and you get back to work. And that's where the bosses, the incident commanders, they have to keep an eye on their people to make sure that they're not overworking themselves. Because once you do, you know, you talk about acute and cognitive stress. Incidents like this will lead to cognitive stress and can lead to, you know, serious psychological damage.
So you're tired, but you don't know you're tired. You're totally fatigued. You don't know you're fatigued, and you're just on it. What kinds of stress occurs later on? What does that mean?
Well, you know, there's a lot of signs, you know, that, you know, I'm talking down the road, a month or so. Some people think you kid have trouble sleeping, these kind of things, and you think you're going crazy. I used to be a peer support person on the critical incident stress debriefing team along the East Coast, and I can tell you I've been to so many debriefings, Bob, where people will say, well, Mike, I thought I was going crazy. And no, you know, these are feelings that...
What caused him to say that? But, I mean, what caused him to say they were going crazy?
Just you know, your mind. You can't get it out of your mind.
The sights, I see.
The sounds, the smells. I mean, I can tell you the plane that's crashed into Potomac River back a number of years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I was one of the first, Air Florida, I was one of the first responders on the scene. And, you know, and for months, I kept smelling jet fuel. You smell jet fuel. You have trouble sleeping. You know, these are all.
So, you know, this is interesting you brought that up. So you were one of the first responders at the what was that, ValueJet? Or that wasn't ValueJet.
That was Air Florida.
Air Florida.
Air Florida that hit the 14th Street Bridge.
So it's almost the same kind of situation where that wasn't a bridge collapse, but it hit the 14th Street Bridge. So what happens? You get there and what? Now, that was winter. What do you go in the water or what?
Well, I was a diver, and so I was on the third boat out, and we started to get in the water, and they told us we started to recover bodies and debris out of the water. We went right up alongside the aircraft. You still could see the fuselage, and as we were collecting bodies, you know, you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, it was almost surreal, Bob. And one of the things that hit me the most, I'm picking up debris out of the water, and I saw what I thought was a doll, and I picked it up and just tossed it up on the deck, and it was a baby. And, you know, that's something that I'll never forget, that's for sure.
Yeah, that would definitely stay with
you. There's going to be a lot of things that the police officers here will never forget, but I just want to let them know, any of them that might be home right now listening, getting ready to go back to their shift or at work, if you think you need some help, ask for it, because it's there for you.
We're hearing that they're doing pretty good, that they've got plenty of relief. I was surprised at how quickly, I mentioned this before, I shouldn't say surprised, but glad to hear how quickly they got doctors on the scene. They had a full complement of nurses, paramedics, you know, all the people that they needed. Everybody was on scene. Weren't a lot of turf wars or any turf wars that we heard about.
No.
What kinds of turf wars come up in these kinds of situations?
Well, you know, I've seen Oklahoma City. I was working that case, World Trade Center. There's turf wars all the time. But I'm telling you, I'm very surprised. I'm very proud of the first responders of Minnesota. Because I was speaking to a police chief from one of the suburbs, a friend of mine there, and he said last night that early on, the Dakota County, they have a specially trained team of police officers and firefighters that are trained in collapse rescue, in confined space rescue, and they were there on the scene. You know, I saw a unit from Maplewood. There is an excellent mutual aid pack there in and around the Twin Cities, and I'm very proud of the first responders and the job that they did, even though they were overwhelmed by the capacity and the size of this incident.
Oh, yeah, here's another one. We, a couple of TV reporters or people would say, you know, the police were as shocked as we were. And I thought to myself, would you think that the police would have advanced knowledge of this? Or you know, police, first responders, they're human beings. Why wouldn't they be shocked? I thought that was really weird.
It is weird, Bob, and it's amazing because at times like this, You hear things that people, because they sometimes just don't know what to say.
I suppose you're right.
And it comes out like that. But, but again, as I said earlier, there's going to be a lot of unsung heroes and a lot of stories we're going to hear. You know, CNN, this is, you've been watching all night long. You've been seeing and all day today, the different pictures and everything else and the stories of University of Minnesota students who live just a few blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Away.
Well, there's a building right there. You know, and they thought there was an earthquake. They ran out there and were just like, oh, my God, the bridge is gone.
Exactly. And some of the pictures that they had, you know, from early on in the incident were just amazing. And, And I could hear it in her voice last night, too, Bob, that these people who witnessed this firsthand, they are taken back they have been taken back emotionally, and you know, because they wanted to do something, but they just, you know, don't know what to do. And the police finally moved everyone back and got a large perimeter. But everybody is talking about this today up there, the students, and it's going to have an impact on them for the rest of their lives also.
You know, we're just noting. What about these theories? Now, we heard the guy from the NTSB who was on and talked about this investigation. How long will it take, you think? You've been on a couple of these investigations, obviously. How long does it take to sort of begin to assemble some idea of what happened here? You know, that seems to be the big thing, is everybody's got an immediate theory about what happened.
Exactly. And, you know, it's going to be the who, what, when, where, why, and how. But one of the first things I want to try to find out, where did this catastrophic collapse start? And, you know, we've seen some pictures today, exclusive pictures on CNN of the bridge collapsing.
Yes,
look at the MnDOT cameras.
The MnDOT cameras.
We know that they have cameras of those. And that's going to lend a lot of information. But they're also going to need to get metallurgists in there, and they're part of the NTSB team. These, you know, looking at for any cracks, any structural failure, anything at all in the metal that could have caused this bridge to fail. And the big question is, as I said, where did this catastrophic collapse actually start?
What about the terror aspect of this? That was pretty quickly quelched, any discussion about this terror thing. How did they determine so quickly that it had nothing to do with that?
You know, it's ironic, but there's some Department of Homeland Security officials in Minneapolis over the last couple of days for meetings. And they, right away, they took a look at all the pictures, everything that they had available to them, all of the witness statements, the people who they spoke to, first of all, who may have seen this, heard exactly what happened, and they decided, no, this does not look like terrorism. And many times, you know, there have not been any claims, there were no threats at all.
Yeah, so what they do is they first go around and find out, have we got any threats, or is there any situation that we're aware of that's sort of happening as we speak, right?
Exactly, and go back with the intelligence agencies, find out any intelligence, and you know, there is a joint terrorism task force of the FBI, of local and state law enforcement officers, as well as the FBI, that's assigned to the Minneapolis division. So I can guarantee you that you know, they were taking a look at it, but they're still going to be taking a look to make sure. They're going to make sure that they dot all the I's and cross the T's to make sure there's no criminality, no terrorism involved in this whatsoever.
So you were on all night, huh?
Yeah, I was on from, I first started, I got on, I was doing beepers until I got into, via phone until I got in, and I was on midnight, then I was on from 1 to 5, and then I was also doing some things for CNN International, for our international viewers.
Wow, and you are still speaking at 100 miles an hour. You're a man after my own heart, Mike Brooks. So you're going to, I hope you get some sleep.
I tell you, I miss the folks up in Minnesota, and you've got some fantastic viewers, listeners, I should say, that when I was there welcomed me with open arms, and I miss those folks, and I just want to say hello to them and thank them again for all the support they gave me when I was up there in Minnesota.
Okay, man. Mike Brooks from CNN, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again, hopefully, as this thing progresses.
Absolutely, Bob. Take care.
Thank you. Mike Brooks from CNN and AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station. Let's get another traffic update from Carolyn Peterson, standing by.
Thank you, Bob. 35W, of course, closed in both directions between 94 and Highway 36. Your detour, specifically northbound traffic, the detour is 94 eastbound to 280. Southbound traffic, the detour is 280 to 94, obviously the opposite direction. Southbound 35W traffic may also exit at Industrial Boulevard, Stinson Boulevard, New Brighton Boulevard. Drivers leaving downtown Minneapolis have two main routes, 4th Avenue South, that feeds into southbound 35W, or 3rd Street West, which feeds into 394 or 94. Drivers should avoid Washington Avenue. Drivers heading into downtown from the North Metro can use 694 to South 94, Highway 100, or 169 to East 394, 35E to West I-94. And some of the other problems we are running into actually are looking pretty good. We expected a lot of problems today. A lot of drivers are just staying off the roads. The only major congestion in the metro right now on the freeway system is eastbound 494 down in Bloomington from 100 to 35W. You're listening to continuing coverage of the 35W bridge disaster on AM 1500 KSTP.
Thank you, Carolyn. By the way, lots of calls this morning. What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? I will give you the Red Cross website. My suspicion is if you call the telephone number, which I'll give you, they're going to be overwhelmed. But you just go to www.redcrosstc.com. We should have it linked to the website at am1500.com. Also, you can register yourself as Safe and Well or search for information on a loved one if you want to visit safeandwell.org. Concerned family and friends can search the list of those who have registered. You can also call 612-871-7676. Good luck, be safe, and we'll be back tomorrow at am1500. KSDP, the talk station. KSDP, St. Paul, Minneapolis. Paul Harvey is next, and then Ron Rosenbaum for Mishki. Bye-bye.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. First, a salute today to another stand strong woman. A friend of mine is so proud of her mother. Her mother's daily routine includes vitamins and healthful foods and exercise and Citrical calcium. Now, Maxine is 80 years young. And a few years ago, her daughter took her to the senior aerobics class, and when the class participants, all of them 50 and older, they saw Maxine warming up, they thought she was under 50. She has the energy and the figure of a 25-year-old. Well, Maxine knows how important calcium is in protecting her bone health, helping to reduce fractures. So Citrical offers unsurpassed calcium absorption and can even be taken with or without meals. And Maxine can choose tablets or delicious Citrical Creamy Bites. Did you ever wonder why pills can't taste like candy? Well, they can now in Citrical's Creamy Bites. Learn more about how Maxine stands as strong by logging on to standstrong.com. Citrical Calcium. Stand strong. Unemployment last week, the number of people seeking jobless pay, 307,000. That means new jobless claims are less now than a year ago. More Americans moving north to Canada. Last year, 10,942 Americans moved to Canada. That's the most in 30 years. But at the same time, more than twice that many Canadians moved to the United States. Edda Bresciani is an Egyptologist at the University of Pisa. She has been digging south of Cairo in Egypt. She has unearthed evidence that when Rome fought everybody and ruled every place, they also had some fun. She and her associates have found a room with a limestone floor. The floor is etched with lines or lanes about 13 feet long, 7.9 inches wide, side by side. Also, round stone spheres. What they have uncovered, Dr. Bresciani and her associates are convinced, has been found in no other place on our planet. Those are balls, and this is a multi-lane bowling alley. There is no known connection, but since Barack Obama threatened to deploy American troops to Pakistan, remember a couple of days ago, Barack Obama threatened to deploy American troops to Pakistan, Al-Qaeda has now posted a photograph on the internet, a digitally altered photograph of our White House burning. Our White House on fire. And these words in print. Wait for the big surprise. Now page two. Smart Balance is celebrating its 10th anniversary. 10 years of bringing you tasty foods for better health. Smart Balance Buttery Spread was the first brand, you know, ever to avoid trans fat acids naturally. Still the only brand that never uses artificial means to avoid trans fats. And the Smart Balance blend of natural vegetable oils is patented. Patented. That means we can help improve the blood cholesterol ratio, and no other brand of buttery spread can say that. Check the details in smartbalance.com. Smartbalance.com on the internet. And see if you don't agree with me that Smart Balance buttery spread cooks and tastes better than butter and without the high saturated fat and cholesterol. And don't forget Smart Balance Peanut Butter, the only one that's all natural, with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. And Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise, which helps support healthy cholesterol and makes your sandwiches and salads so delicious. Aren't we lucky whenever anything that tastes so good is also so good for you? In the vast Midwest, there are some places that can get hurt, and suddenly everybody hurts. Minneapolis is one of those places. I don't know why. But in Minneapolis at rush hour yesterday, that interstate bridge across the Mississippi River collapsed. At almost the same instant, the Twins were beginning to play Kansas City in the Metrodome. Now, to cancel that game then and there, in respect for the dead and for the grieving survivors, to cancel the game would have released a flood tide of automobiles snarling emergency rescue traffic on the area's highways. So the game played on, and rescuers continued rescuing into the night, while 24,000 stayed in the Metrodome 10 innings. The inevitably distracted Twins lost. A Daily commuter, Catherine Yankelevich, was driving on the bridge when it let go, and she says, "I could feel the bridge shimmy a little. Then I could feel it falling, and cars were flying, and then the waters were coming up, and then the waters were coming in. I rolled the window down and swam to shore. It was unreal. Unreal, like a scary movie." A lot of area parents, who usually pray casually and comfortably, were kneeling by their beds last night. The vintage school bus, loaded, barely made it across. By the dawn's early light, the death toll was 4 and rising. The search continues for dozens missing. Medical nutritional. Men, you will want to hear this. The most aggressive form of prostate cancer appears to be cut in half if you will just add to your diet cauliflower and broccoli twice a week. By the way, they also tested all of the other good groceries and came back with these two, broccoli and cauliflower. Medical nutritional, this time it's Japanese scientists who observed 96,000 male and female adults ages 40 to 69 over a period of 12 years to conclude that 3 or more cups of coffee a day may reduce the incidence of colon cancer in women by one half. Now, page 3.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Did you hear about New York's Martha Wyman? She got in a taxi cab. It was driven by a Caribbean driver. She was a little uncomfortable. The driver wore that flowing long hair of the Rastafarian. Ms. Wyman was frightened, sort of. Hesitantly, she recited her destination. But then the driver turned around and he grinned a great big toothless grin, and he asked, quote, "I say, isn't that Oscar de la Renta perfume that you're wearing?" And, of course, it was. In 1981, if you were driving a classy DeLorean car, I hope you still do, that vintage stainless steel car with its gull-wing doors is now in such demand that the Dunmurry plant, where the few originals were made, may reopen for business. The United States, however, is no longer number one car maker for the world. Foreign car makers, with a calculated avalanche of rebates, outsold us, U.S., in July. Most any very windy day, capricious Mother Nature creates a sudden, powerful gust of wind. It's called a microburst. Michael Hess was driving his car in Glade Springs, Virginia, on Route 58, when a microburst unroofed a pizza shop, and the roof slammed into his vehicle and unroofed his car. Michael Hess was 19. In Karlova, in Bulgaria, a loving husband found some beads on his farm. Naturally, Boris Todorov, as a first impulse, felt that he should collect the interesting beads and string them on a string and give them to his wife to wear. And she wore the necklace, wore them to the grocery store where she works as a cashier. And one day a delegation of men from the Bulgarian National Museum, on an outing, stopped in to purchase some groceries for their camping holiday. And the first scientist to look at Mrs. Todorov's necklace